The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code Ross. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code Ross, only on DraftKings. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/football for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
If you'd like to make your NFL games a little more interesting, you've come to the right place. It's the Even Money Podcast with Russ Tucker and Steve Fezzik.
Yeah, Vegas, baby, Vegas. It is the Even Money Podcast presented, of course, by DraftKings Sportsbook. I'm Ross Tucker, former NFL offensive lineman, 5 teams, 7 years. Now I got a bunch of podcasts that I absolutely love. College Draft was awesome today with Emery Hunt, who's such a stud, going over the NFC North draft choices. We wrapped up our series of going division by division, talking about every single team's draft picks. You should check that out tomorrow. Joe Dolan and I on the Fantasy Feast podcast, we're going to talk about some of the guys that are over and undervalued at their current ADP in rounds 4 through 10. About the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, I know a lot of you already listen to that or you watch it, youtube.com/RossTuckerNFL. Was interesting this week when we had a listener who volunteered to interview me, asking me questions about all kinds of things. I got really good feedback on it. Seems like a lot of you thoroughly enjoyed it. So that was cool. I'm glad, very glad to hear that. You can check me out on social media, always at Ross Tucker NFL. Appreciate those of you that do. We are at Ross Tucker Pod on Twitter and Instagram. Absolutely adore those of you that give any of these shows a 5-star rating or a review. That is, by the way, the best way to ask Steve Fezzik a question. Give us a 5-star review and then send in your question with the 5-star review attached. Boom, I'll put you right to the top of the list because we're going to get to a lot of email questions with Steve over the next 4 to 6 weeks. Should be awesome before NFL preseason games kick off. You got to check him out at Fezzik Sports. I say it every episode because it's true every episode. He's the only 2-time winner of the Super Bowl of professional football betting. It's the Super Contest at the Westgate Casino. And we did, I don't even know, Steve, I'd have to look up when part one was, but we did kind of a part one. Was that last week or was that before that? Might have just been last week. Of things you should be doing to prep this summer to make sure that you are ready to rock and roll for betting on the NFL this fall. It was really simple, Steve. You started to give out some of the advice, some of the things people could be doing now if they wanted to get ready. Not necessarily placing bets now, but making sure, Steve, they are good to go. Like, it doesn't happen overnight. So last week, we had your summer football betting tips, part one. Today, summer football betting tips, part two, because we didn't get to all of them last week, including your belief, Steve, to start following all of the NFL and college football season wins and seeing how they move. Explain that.
Yeah, so you're basically tracking each team like they're a stock, if you will. So you go in and check your stocks maybe once a week, maybe daily. Some of you maybe more than once daily. Well, you get a valuation on each and every team by checking their season win number. So you take a look at the Dallas Cowboys, for instance. Their season win number had been 10.5 for quite a long time. Well, they just fell down to 10. So clearly there's some sharp bettors that like the Cowboys to underperform this year. Chicago Bears sitting at 6.5. That was their valuation. Well, not so much anymore. Now the Bears are trading at, I'll call it 6.25, 6.25, with pros betting under. Ross, no one in the public right now is betting. This is all sharp money, pro money betting, and they're tying their money up for, 7 months? Pros would not make bets that tie their money up for 7 months if they didn't have not just an edge, but a significant edge. So you don't need to be able to name a player in the Cowboys or the Bears. And you might have difficulty, frankly, naming any skill position players for the Bears, even if you do follow them, because they have no offense. Those are two bets that you would land on just following the sharp betting markets.
So that's really interesting. Why do you feel like no one in the public is betting right now?
Because the public is betting who's going to win the college baseball World Series and who's going to win today in Wimbledon and how the St. Louis Cardinals are going to do today. The betting public wants to win today. The betting public does not make well-researched, informed investments that won't pay off until 2023.
You know what they also do a lot, Steve? I feel like when people go to Vegas in the summer, that's when they put like Super Bowl long shots. I don't know if they do more season win totals or more like this is when people put $100 on, you know, the Eagles or the Saints to win the Super Bowl or something.
There was a guy in front of me in line a few days ago. Exactly right. So he's betting all these middling teams to win the Super Bowl at a bad shop that has poor odds. And he basically bet 10 teams at 8 to 10 to 1. And it was all I could do not to tap him on the shoulder and said and tell him, you realize if one of your teams wins, you're going to break even. And if none of them win, you're going to bagel and lose everything. You know, just crazy.
But you didn't do it.
No.
You know why you didn't do it?
No, I don't.
Because you shouldn't do it. Because those guys indirectly help you, right?
They absolutely
bad bettors indirectly help you because the sports books stay open. They keep doing their thing. They keep giving you a shot because there's people like them that will come in and not do the math.
Exactly right. And to use an analogy, I was at a blackjack table, $100 minimum bet, blackjack table. Dude is betting the bust prop bet that they have at even money. So a dealer with a 5-up only busts 42% of the time. It's not even close. With a 3-up, I think it's less than 40%. It only pays even money. And yet there are guys that consistently put out $100, $300 that the dealer is going to bust with a small card up. The house edge is so enormous, I can only imagine what they're raking in against the players with those sucker bets that they put on the blackjack table.
Wow, that's interesting. Okay, so, all right, so you're watching them, you're following your stocks, Steve, you're following the NFL and college football win totals, you're seeing how they move. How does that make you a better come the season when you're willing to actually make some bets? Like, why are we doing that?
Because we are getting a strong, it's like having, you're the mutual fund manager and you've employed analysts who are telling you the Cowboys are overrated, the Bears are overrated, the Falcons are overrated, the Lions are underrated. They're giving you for free their analysis. So now not only to bet season wins, but as when the season is upon us, you've got what they've done your research for you for free, if you will, giving you their recommendations. And then you can take their recommendations or you can go ahead and ultimately disagree with them. But it's just another piece to the puzzle that you can use in your NFL betting.
But couldn't I argue the opposite, Steve, that, okay, I'm paying attention. I see the Dallas number come down. I see the Bears number come. Couldn't you argue you missed it? Like, you had your chance earlier, but you missed it. You shouldn't bet the Cowboys under 10. You should have bet them under a 10.5. Now it's too late. Isn't that what the advice you would normally give people in that situation?
Yes. So now it's time to get creative, right? If the 10.5's gone, you know, there's games of the year up every single week on the Dallas Cowboys. If you can't find 10.5 anymore to go under, well, now let's start going into these 17 games of the year that are posted for the Cowboys and look for selective ones that you like anyways to fade the Cowboys. Get at it with an alternative bet, a derivative bet, if you will.
I know I asked this before, but do the season win total numbers line up with the every week lines?
Yes. So as an exercise, what you can do is, let's say the Cowboys are at home against the Eagles and they're laying 3. All right. So that means you convert that to a money line, it'll be about minus 160. That means the Cowboys should win that game 58% of the time or so. So you would give the Cowboys, the wrong way to do it is say, Cowboys are hosting the Eagles, I think they're going to win that game. No. You say, I'm going to give them 0.58 wins for that game. And then you do this exercise for every one of their games, add them all up, the 0.58s in an Excel spreadsheet or by hand. Boom, it'll give you a number, and you can compare that number to what the number actually being dealt to see whether the Vegas has them too high or too low.
But what I'm saying is, do the books do that to make sure that those numbers are even or not necessarily at all?
Oh, of course not. The books have no idea what they're doing. The books throw out just haphazard guesses, and then they let the bettors fix everything. Let me give you an example. A local book here in town, they put up division wins for various teams. Baltimore Ravens, Ross. The Ravens are the clear-cut favorite now to win the AFC North. And they put the Ravens up at 3. Last time I checked, the Ravens are playing 6 games in division along with everybody else. Guess what? The team that's favored to win the division, they probably shouldn't be lined at 3. They should be higher than 3.
Wait a minute. They have you can bet on the number of wins in division, and they have the Ravens at 3.
They did. Yes.
Wow. That's interesting. By the way, Steve, as much as I like your cutoff shirt and showing the guns, which is awesome, you really need to take my advice and go to the Express. Find statement shirts in bright colors, prints that pop, and lightweight fabrics. I am loving kicking it old school with vintage-inspired polos made for modern living. Check me out. When I post stuff on social media, a lot of times now I am rocking something from Express. Find something for every destination at Express online or in store.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, so let's get to, Steve, so we did that. We're following all the NFL and college football wins, how they move this summer. We're watching our stocks, mutual funds. All right, what about, you said to me, one of your other bullet points was tracking every team's schedule, i.e. good and bad spots.
Yes, and before I do that, I have to address your shirt comment, because there's a famous poker player called Doug Polk, and he's a great poker player, does great content, and sometimes he wears tank tops. And he got called out on it. Maria Ho, who's another great poker player, says, Doug, why do you only wear tank tops when you're not looking like the Pillsbury Doughboy? Because, like, oh, when you spend a couple months in the gym, boom, here comes the tank. Same's true for me come February at the end of a football season, oh, suddenly I'll be bundled up with a sweater and the like and not exposing my flabby body. So, and I'm still flabby. So, yes, yeah, schedule analysis. I got to be honest here, I'm lazy on this. Really, the way to do this is like the second the schedules come out to go ahead and write them all out. And what you're looking for is good and bad spots for a team. Example of a bad spot, boom. You went ahead and played a Sunday night football game, and now you got to travel across the country and play a Thursday game. So that would be a horrible spot. So you want to put a little note. Don't bet the Cowboys in this spot under any circumstances. We're looking to play their opponent. Now, personally, I don't want to go through and originate all of that. I wait till the newsletters come out or the magazines that actually have all the schedules pre-printed. And then I write into the magazines. I use Mark Lawrence's excellent one to go ahead and do that. So Mark Lawrence's magazine's about to hit the newsstands. And I will certainly do that for every NFL and select college teams to find spots that are like, oh, this team's really up against it. And, you know, Warren Sharp, who's been on our show here, has, you know, talks about really good and bad scheduling spots. So I'll notate them. And I'll forget about it as the year goes on. And then I can just look at the magazine. Week 9 is upon us. And I'll be like, oh, Bengals in a really bad spot this week. Let me see if I want to bet against them.
But, Steve, shouldn't you be doing that right away and then betting those games as soon as DraftKings or whoever puts a line on them?
Yes, but you may not like the line. You may take a look at the line that's put up on the game of the year and say, eh, I don't know. I'm not so excited. And also, I can't bet each and every game. I'll run out of money. So at some point, I can hold back some money. And the bottom line is I only make a bet ahead of time if I think I'm going to get a better line than what I'll get 6 months from now, 4 months from now. On a lot of these, I can wait because if it's not obvious that the spot's good or bad, but I've done the research and I know the odds maker's just going to open the lines based upon their power ratings. They're very rarely going to make an adjustment for how good a scheduling spot pro or against is for a team. So usually you can wait until the actual week of the game to make the bet. Now the bettors will spot it and they'll move the number, but we can beat the bettors to the punch more often than not if we've done our homework ahead of time.
Okay, so spend the next month, get Warren Sharp's book or whatever, get a good feel for good spots and bad spots, make notes of it so that when it comes around during the season, you remember. Now, I guess my question would be like, can't you just do that every Sunday night during the season or Monday morning and be like, okay, it's a bad spot, it's a good spot, they're coming off this, they're coming off that?
Excellent question. And the answer is no, you cannot, because there's a limited number of hours in the day. Right now, I can play poker at the World Series of Poker. I can go ahead and handicap baseball. There's plenty of hours in the day. That is not the case all day Saturday, all day Sunday. I'm live wagering. I'm betting like 15 hours a day. I'm a vegetable. I'm fried by Sunday night. And now, magically, I'm just going to go through all the college football and all the NFL schedules and spot, oh, this is a really bad spot for my Northwestern Wildcats. Impossible. I'll be up till 5 in the morning. And it's unnecessary. I could have done it back in July when I was on vacation, you know, going up the Alaska coastline, you know, spending time with the family. And I had like 3 hours. I read a novel that I could have done it during then.
That's a good point. So you can, but you just don't really have time.
Exactly.
Interesting. All right. So, Steve, we get a lot of email questions for you that I love because they're questions I wouldn't think of. I think people know this by now. You can always ask Steve a question by emailing me, ross@rostucker.com, which is also how you get me for a speaking engagement or whatever you need, advertise on the shows, whatever you want, okay? As a reminder, if you rate and review the show or if you take advantage of one of our sponsors, like we have a sponsors page over at rostucker.com, your email goes to the top of the queue. It is time to ask Steve.
Ever wanted to ask a professional sports bettor a question? It's time to ask Steve.
First one comes to us from Dave in New Jersey, who used the code Ross to sign up for the DraftKings Sportsbook app. I love it. He said, hi, guys. I use the DraftKings app. I'm a big fan. Steve, I hear betting unders is more profitable in the long run. Do you have a specific strategy for choosing your unders to bet? Is there a sport or bet you find easiest to find profitable under wagers? So it sounds like he's talking about the points in a game and not season win totals, Steve. Dave from New Jersey.
Yeah, there's two reasons that unders are so profitable and pros love them. One, there are some basic strategy spots where you absolutely look to play unders. Example, NBA game sixes and sevens, NHL game sixes and sevens, especially NHL as we get later into the playoffs. So good example, Stanley Cup, game six, Avalanche, Tampa Bay open up six. The pros know that it's a good bet, more than likely, because most of the games have been lined at six, and now we're getting deeper in the series. They don't call as many penalties, swallow the whistle. Both teams a little bit cautious. I only like talking about bets that win. Game goes way under. Same thing happened game six with Boston Golden State. So don't have to do any handicapping. You just have to have a memory of, oh, these are spots that are good for unders. The second reason that pros prefer unders to overs, you can get some really cool rogue lines on unders. It's not unusual, by example, on a Super Bowl. If a Super Bowl is lined at 45 for a total, you can almost never find a 44.5. You can't get any help. If you're going over, you're playing over 45. If you like under and you've got a whole bunch of outs, especially against square ball books, you can find a 46. You can always get a little, an extra half point or point when you're playing an under in any big game, because the public loves to bet over. So you're going to get rogue lines that you can play unders on as well. So because of that, those two reasons, pros really like unders. Having said all that, against market numbers widely available in most games, it's real close to 50-50. So don't think you can just blindly bet unders on everything and make a profit. You can't.
Good question. Let's get to Reno in Pittsburgh. He's got a money line question, Steve. What's the best way to place two money line plays on two separate games to be equal on both sides? For example, on a $100 play, say the line for the favorite -150 and the dog +130 on the first game. Another game has -200 favorite and +170 dog. So I want to bet a dog on one and a fave on the other. What's the proper balanced way and most profitable way? And he goes on to say risk 150 to win 100 on the first, and risk 100 to win 200 on the second, risk 150 to win 100 on first, risk 50 to win 100 on the second. Basically, he wants to know how you even these out.
The way I do it, and pros use a method called the Kelly criterion where they bet proportional to their edge, but that's irrelevant to this. You don't need to know about that. I personally like my swing, win or loss, to be about the same on my core bets. So let's say my baseline bet is to win $1,000, $1,100 to win $1,000. Well, when a game ends, that's a $2,100 swing, right? So I like having that approximate $2,000 swing on any bet. So let's assume I'm going to bet a big favorite, okay? -200 favorite. I'll risk $1,400 to win $700. Again, it's a $2,100 swing, win or loss. Let's say I've got a +150 underdog. Well, at that point, I'd risk $800 to win $1,200. Again, it's a $2,000 swing whether I win or lose. And that keeps every game in perspective, basically in terms of each game is going to affect my net worth, if you will, at the end of the day, by $2,000, whether I win it or lose it.
Got it. Interesting. Man, they come up with questions that I don't even know. I wouldn't even have thought of it that way. Let's do one more. Graham Beresh, love the Even Money Pod, had a couple questions on sports gambling. I'm relatively new Since I live in Missouri, I haven't had a chance to wager yet, although it sounds like it'll be legalized here soon. I have been keeping track of my picks for 3 years now. I just graduated college, so I'm not working with a lot of capital, and was wondering if you or Steve Fezzik had any tips for starting from a smaller bankroll, or if it is even really possible. I really only look to NFL to gamble. I don't want to be wagering more than 2% of my bankroll on any specific bet, and no, getting rich quick isn't really an option. I did, however, just finish this last season up about 78 units thanks to two separate massive teaser streaks. And although I know that is likely not repeatable, it makes me wonder if I am greatly improving on my betting as I try to power rank teams and predict lines ahead of time now.
Now, I could write a book on Graham. By the way, Graham, I wonder if that's like a common name in South Africa. I knew someone named Graham growing up, and I think their parents were from there, but he's in Missouri. I'm going to go off the rails a little bit here. I'm going to make a recommendation for a get-rich-quick scheme for someone who has no bankroll that's just out of school. Are you ready, Ross?
Hold on a second. I need to take notes on this one. I'm ready.
You actually qualify, but you're too busy. All right. So you need to, if you're in a state that just recently legalized, Indiana, Illinois, even Pennsylvania, you are in just the absolute best time to bet sports in the history of sports, because you've got so many operators that really aren't very experienced and are making mistakes and giving you opportunities. And people are like, oh, Fezzik, you just throw that out like it's happenstance. It's not that easy. Well, I'll throw a bet out here. CFL right now. Here's a best bet for DraftKings. Ottawa Red Blacks are +3.5. Ottawa is a great bet this week. Bet the +3.5. You can lay -120. Ottawa, no way they should be getting more than 3 points. So I'll throw that out as a bet to make. Here's where I'm going. If you don't have a bankroll, it's going to take forever to build a bankroll, because you're supposed to bet 2% of your bankroll. If you only have $1,000 in disposable income, Ross, that's $20 a pop. It's going to take a long time to build that up into anything. Work with the pro. Get to know a pro. I'll give examples. My buddy, the crack man, hit man, myself. Find a way to find us. It's like the A-team. Find a guy that knows a guy that knows someone on the A-team and get the A-team to work with you. And help fund your operation, and you can become a little betting syndicate, you and one of these pro bettors, because I assure you, if you say, I've never opened up any accounts before, our eyes get really big, because the bonuses that you can earn becoming a first time member, I mean, you deposit $1,000, they give you $1,000 in free bets. So you will very rapidly make money, if nothing else, just from exploiting all the bonuses, all the Bet Rivers and the DraftKings types of bonuses that are available to you. You should be able to rapidly grow a $1,000 bankroll into $10,000 just through playing bonuses and working with one sharp guy.
I actually know multiple people that have done that. They've worked with a pro and it's gone very well for them.
A mutual friend of ours has done very well doing that. Yes.
Correct. There's a lot to be said for what Steve just said. That's awesome. Graham has been listening to the pod for the last two seasons. It just keeps getting better. He said, thanks again. Hope you guys win some money. That is awesome, Graham. That's how we end every show. I like that. A little tip of the cap to how we end every show, which is exactly what we're going to do right now. Have a great 4th of July. The next 2 weeks, we're talking NFL season win totals. We've got a couple of guests coming on to give us their favorite NFL season win totals. You are not going to want to miss it. Other than that, check him out on social media, at Fezzik Sports. I'm at Ross Tucker NFL. We're at Ross Tucker Pod. You can always watch the show, youtube.com/RossTuckerNFL. Check out the other shows as well. And like Graham said, good luck, everybody. Hope you guys win some money.
Thanks for listening to the Even Money Podcast. Make sure to also subscribe to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, The Fantasy Feast, Business of Sports, and The College Draft. All available at Apple Podcasts, RossTucker.com, or wherever podcasts can be found.